And now, here's the host of the Sports Hub, David Tewksbury.
Trumpets blaring in the background. It's a Wednesday. It's a Wolves midweek right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Hey, what's up? What's the good word? How are you? Splendid to be with you. Week is officially not quite halfway over, but we're getting closer and closer to getting over that hump together here today on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM. 98.5 on the FM dial and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page at facebook.com/FoxSportsAberdeen. You can check out our massive new TV, or feels like a TV that I'm staring at right now. We got a new monitor here in studio. Big day. Big day here at Fox Sports Aberdeen. Brand new monitor in studio. What you know about that?
I saw that right away. I'm like, oh, are we watching a movie or are we doing a sports hub today? Wow.
Jeez whiz, you're not kidding. This thing is massive. I feel like I'm about to watch them. Like, when I was, I kid you not, when I was in college, this was about the size of my TV.
Yeah, same. In my dorm room.
Yes.
It might have been a little bit bigger than that.
Not by much.
Not much, though. I had the same TV about that size.
Man alive, that is a big, big, big screen for
sure.
Well,
now you can get a 55-inch TV for a great price, it seems like. I mean, back then, I feel like TVs were hard to come by, no?
I think you're onto something. I mean, my wife and I, we bought ourselves a new TV 8 or 9 months ago. We got it, I think, for less than $200.
Yeah.
That's a steal.
50-inch TV.
Easy.
One of those smart TVs. I feel like they weren't around.
It's a Roku TV for
us. Yeah, Roku. That's what I got. Those things are the best. But, yeah, that's about the size of what the one I had when I was in college.
Yeah, all my buddies would be, we're watching around, watching the Marquette game. We're all standing like, I think it's...
What's the score?
What's the score? What's the shot clock read? I can't tell. That's
how much time's left?
Yeah, pretty wild. But good to be with you here on this Wednesday installment of the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen, indeed. Madeline Bragg. I think you've got a legitimate case that she could be, might be, a first-team all-conference player. It's going to be pretty close, I think, between her and probably Lexi Schneider of UMary. But looking forward to her joining us here live in studio. That's coming up in about 10 to 15 minutes on the show. And then towards the bottom of the hour, Dean Berry, the head coach of the baseball squad of NSU. He'll be joining us in studio as well. And, you know, we're getting closer and closer to the start of baseball season. I know you're a baseball guy. I'm a baseball guy. My buddies and I were talking about this yesterday. I'm excited for baseball season. I am. Sign me up. I'm all in.
Yeah, there's nothing better than the opening day weekend of baseball season. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are very into spring training. They schedule vacations around when teams are going to Florida for vacation. I know a lot of people go out to Fort Myers. My aunt and uncle, they go to Sarasota for the Orioles spring training every year. So, you know, I got friends and family that go to Clearwater. The Phillies play their spring ball in Clearwater. So, yeah, man, I'm all about baseball season. It makes it even better when your team's good. When the Orioles stunk for those years there after they traded Manny Machado, it was a struggle for me to get into the season. It really was. I was trying, but last year really just ignited the fire for me a little bit because they were awesome. They had no expectations. Now coming into this year, you got expectations, and I'm super into it now.
I'll tell you what, friend. As a Chicago Cubs fan, we have an expression around the North Side. Win or lose, we still booze. So, I mean, that's the way it is for the Chicago Cubs. And, you know, of course, they won a championship. They won a World Series here. It really doesn't feel like it was that long ago, but that was 2016. It's 2024 right now.
moving in on 10 years. But that's a good point. Like, Chicago, the Cubs, they've had a couple struggled years, you know, in there. They didn't win. And
stuck it out.
Yeah, stuck it out, though. But, yeah, I'm a big baseball guy. Yeah, big baseball guy. That's kind of how I got my career started in the broadcasting business, too, just covering baseball. So, yeah, that's always going to have a special place in my heart.
It's a great sport. It's a pastime, for sure. And the way I kind of look at it is with the whole pitch clock scenario that was implemented last year on the MLB side of things, I was like, man, this is going to ruin the game. This is stupid. I was immediately hooked. I loved it. I thought it was a great move, and I really was proud to be kind of wrong on that regard, I guess.
Well, it made the TV viewing experience way better,
yeah.
And people were complaining, oh, the games are going too fast if I'm at the game. You know, I went to a couple MLB games this year. this past year. Mm-hmm. I didn't think they flew by. No way. They went a little bit quicker, but do you really want to be at the ballpark for 4.5 hours? I don't know.
Depends if the husband really wants to get away from his wife.
Exactly.
Or vice versa. Or vice versa.
2.5, 3 hours, sign me up. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, quick. You're in, you're out, you're moving on with your day. You can go home and get a little more family time. So, I don't know. It's definitely a topic of conversation, but I am pro pitch clock. I just want the record to be known.
I think it would be really funny, too, by the way, just sure. as an early preview, if the Yankees stunk again and didn't make
the
playoffs.
Wouldn't that be great?
That would be pretty good, because they signed Juan Soto, and everybody's got a little bit of expectation for him again this year. I think it would be funny if they didn't make the playoffs again.
If the Yankees stunk, I think I would probably be once again playing that world's smallest violin over here. I mean, I'm not quite the musically inclined guy, but I think I might have to play that bad boy one more time. Of course, he is Matt McClure. We call him
Mr. Unlimited.
And let's go ahead and toss this thing skyward, shall we?
Let's
you love
go.
It.
Big fan of that.
Big, big fan. So we'll check out our Insurance Plus and Area Federal Credit Union scoreboard here very, very shortly. But kind of an update on the Northern State Softball Youth Camp. Saw this yesterday officially. Hey, temperatures are supposed to be in the mid-50s. Let's move this thing outdoors. So instead of going underneath the dome, it's going to be at Keeler Hall of Fame Field. And rather from 6 till 8 p.m., it'll be on Sunday between 1 and 3 p.m. So enjoy the sun. Enjoy the opportunity to swing the sticks. I know that's golf, but, you know, swing the lumber, as it were. I don't think they use lumber. They know that's baseball. But you know what I'm trying to say. Northern State Softball, the free youth camp is coming up this Sunday between the hours of 1 and 3 p.m. for kiddos between the ages of 7 and 13. Admission is free. It's at the Keeler Hall of Fame Field on the campus of NSU. Register today at northernstatesoftballcamps.com. That's northernstatesoftballcamps.com. Again, this Sunday between 1 and 3 p.m. at Keeler Hall of Fame Field, ages 7 to 13, admission is free. Great day to be out and enjoy the sun.
Take advantage of the weather. Why not? We've had really nice days here the last week or so, and we're calling for mid-50s today. By the weekend, I think it's going to be back in the 50s, so why not? Let's have it outside.
62 on Monday of next week, by the
way. What?
And then 38 on Tuesday with snow.
Really?
How stupid is that? That's just springtime here.
Middle of January, we were at minus, what, 20?
Something like that.
So, a little change, to say the least.
A little bit of a change, for sure. Let's check out our Insurance Plus and Area Federal Credit Union scoreboard from yesterday on the high school side of things. Before we get on the tournament side, let's talk about Aberdeen Central here briefly. As Central, they took on Roosevelt last night. They fell 55-53. Parker Lamar, a game-high 19. But Central, this time the buzzer beater, not to be. Central loses the ballgame by 2. They shot 10 of 16 from the free throw line. That's one of those first stats I always look at. How many missed free throws did we have after a missed game, or a loss? And Central with 6 of them, unfortunately, a 2-point loss. A tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, that was a heartbreaker for sure. Senior night at Golden Eagles Arena. And you mentioned it, free throw shooting 10 of 16 for the game. They were 7 of 9 in the first half. They went 3 of 7 in the second half. And that was just a tough one, really, because they had a big lead in that third quarter, too, because they were up 9, 42-33. Mm-hmm. It was kind of weird how the game went. Roosevelt jumped out to an early lead. We're up 24-15. Aberdeen Central went on a 27-9 run between the second and third quarter. And then it was just kind of back and forth ever since that run. And Roosevelt just made a couple more plays down the stretch, got a couple more buckets, and that's one that Aberdeen Central, it hurt probably for those kids there at the end of the game. Brett Norberg obviously disappointed. Liked the shot in that situation.
Yep.
You had one of your best three-point shooters in the corner for 3. Just hesitated maybe a little bit, but it was halfway in. It looked like that shot was in slow-mo. I'm like,
yeah.
I got flashbacks to Watertown. That's what I was thinking in my head when that shot went up.
You were ready to go full-on Austin.
Oh, 100%. If he would have made that shot, I would have went bananas.
I love it. Well, unfortunately, 2 points shy, and they'll look to have a better performance against Jefferson, right?
Friday night. Yep, Friday night. Same type of team, 9-9, plays that run-and-gun style. So not a lot of prep, really, that you probably need to do because you're probably playing the same style of team. So, and they could play that Roosevelt team in the SODAC 16 possibly again.
Would be a really fun matchup for sure. Speaking of Roosevelt, on the girls' side, they would defeat Aberdeen Central 38-28. and neither offense really did much of anything. Roosevelt only putting up 38 points, so kudos to the Central defense, but also kudos to the Roosevelt defense. They held Central to just 28 points, and tough luck loss there for the Golden
Eagles. Yeah, it seems like injuries are, you know, definitely hurting Aberdeen Central here as of late, and just unable to score in the second half was really the key in this one. You know, Burkhart with the 10, Withers with 8, you like to see that, but they've certainly struggled here down the stretch scoring the basketball, and I think injuries have a major part to do with that.
Yeah, got to get healthy. That's the biggest thing. Insurance Plus and Area Federal Credit Union scoreboard. Aberdeen Roncalli was 6 points better than Redfield. I think most people would have kind of penciled this game in to be pretty lopsided. Hey, you know what? It's late February. Not quite March, but, you know, crazy things happen in late February and early March. And Redfield, they made it a ball game. They didn't want their season to end. Roncalli comes away with a 43-37 victory. Cavaliers, they will take on Groton on Thursday on Pheasant Country 103, who defeated Webster 50-31.
Yeah, I came home from my game, Tukes, and I saw the score. I was like, 43-37. This was a grinded-out type game, and I thought to myself, Katie Rozelle probably had a good game.
She did.
And she certainly did to keep Redfield in it, and Roncalli did not shoot the ball well in this game. And one of those, hey, survive in advance type games, right?
Took the words right out of my mouth. I was just going to say, this time of year, there's no extra thing as style points. So survive and advance, that's the big thing. And also in Region 1A, you had Sisseton down Tio Spezina 86-22. Krista Longauger had 25. Sisseton will be taking on the Bulldogs of Milbank for a trip to the Sodex. 16 on the line. Should be a good matchup there. Milbank defeated Wabe Summit 53-37. We'll also have the head coach of the Sisseton squad on the program tomorrow right around 10:30.
Yeah, Sarah Lincoln joining us tomorrow. And I'll tell you what, Alexia Quinn's been a little bit of an X factor for them. You know, getting that 16 points is huge. I feel like they just got good balance, and she adds another dimension to that offense. And when she's getting double figures, watch out.
We'll take a look at some of the other regional action if time permits. Region 2A, 6A, as well as Region 1B, 2B, and 6B if time permits later on in the program. But if not, check out our website, hubcityradio.com, and the Insurance Plus and Area Federal Credit Union scoreboard. We'll be taking a look at that all throughout the latter stages of February and into tournament time and March. Coming up next, though, we've got ourselves a Wolves midweek. Madeline Bragg, she'll be joining us here live in studio after this on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Stick around. We're back on this Wednesday edition of the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page at facebook.com/FoxSportsAberdeen. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by the Cobra. He is Matt McClure, and we are also joined in studio with Madeline Bragg of your Northern State University women's basketball squad. Maddie, thanks for popping in today. We appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. How's the week going so far for you? Okay.
Pretty good. Practice today was easy. We're kind of taking it light this week, kind of trying to reduce injuries for the big weekend and everything. So
yeah, two games left to go in the regular season. Let's talk about this last weekend for you guys. On that Friday against Winona State, kind of a sneaky team. They shot the ball pretty well in that first half. Second half, you guys make some great adjustments and come away with that 14-point victory. But I want to kind of focus on that Saturday game against Mankato. Huge win for you guys against the 14th-ranked team in the country. Just what was the atmosphere like in the Barnett Center there? Because I thought that was the best crowd we've probably had all year.
Yeah, it was the energy in there was electric. It was super fun to play in, especially down to the wire, because Mankato is such a good team. I knew that it wasn't going to be a blowout. I knew that it was going to come right down to the end of it, and it did. But I'm really grateful that the crowd was there, because I'm sure that game would have went a lot differently if we didn't have people behind us.
I think you're spot on, yeah.
Yeah, and the first time you played them, you struggled a little bit on the road, and you scored, I think it was almost double or more than double than the points than you scored against them on the road than at home. What was working pretty well out there offensively for you guys?
You know, I think a big part of it actually is last time we played them on a Friday, so we scouted them all week long. Mm-hmm. And when you play on the Saturday, you only have that one walkthrough on the Saturday morning to go through their scouts. So we weren't thinking about Mankato at all. We were pretty focused on Winona, and we kind of just went in there ready to play. We knew what we were capable of. Also, probably with a chip on our shoulder because we didn't want to get blown out by 20 again. I think we just knew what worked for us, and we didn't want to turn the game into a track meet like how Mankato plays. They are a very fast team, and they like to get teams rushing and turning the ball over, and we knew that if we wanted to beat them, we had to slow down and make them slow down as well and make them actually play defense, because they don't like to play defense. They like to get out and transition and run and basically just outscore everybody.
Well, let's just say you guys don't play that game, and I'm just telling you these numbers right now. You're going to surrender 87 points, and you're going to turn the ball over 24 times. Wouldn't you be a little bit nervous?
Yeah, I would assume that would be probably a loss, honestly.
So how did it happen? How'd you guys get the win?
Everything was working offensively for us. We shut down most of their team. Their point guard had a great game. Props to her. She kept going until the end, but everything was working for us. What did we have? 4 out of the 5 starters in double digits, and DeConte had 18 or something like that.
Yep.
Everybody did their thing. Everybody had a great night. Nobody had an off night. I think that is really huge for us. We had everybody come in, and then Briley Schultz came in and had some huge minutes in the game. She did what she needed to do. I think everybody just played really well.
Great team effort, no doubt.
How do you refocus after a game like that? Because, you know, Mankato was, what was it, Tukes, an 18-game win streak or something
19.
Like that? 19-game win streak, yep. Red hot, you know, Saturday night, crowd going wild, you guys get a big win, and obviously you want to celebrate that one in the moment and take a couple days, but how do you, I guess, refocus here early in the week preparing for this weekend?
Yeah, I think while that was a huge win, it's just another game right now. The job's not finished. Season's not over. We still have a lot of work to do and a lot to prove. You know, you beat the number one team in the conference, 14th in the country previously before we beat them, but that's just another win in the column. It's not like we're done with the season. You know, you can't give up there. I think we know that now, especially since we beat Mankato, we have an even larger target on our back. And Wayne State and Augustana are fighting for their playoff lives right now, essentially. So they're going to bring everything that they have at us, and we're going to need to be ready for that.
Madeline Bragg joining us here live in studio, Fox Sports Aberdeen. I can't recall if I asked you this question during Pack Chat, but preseason number 10, you know, that's kind of one of those things. I can see it on your face already. You're like, yeah, I'm not so sure about that. Was that something that you guys talked about kind of internally? Did Paula talk about that? I don't know. Paula probably is not even focused on that sort of thing, but just feels like what's kind of disrespectful to a team that I thought that would. Matt said top 5 immediately.
Yeah, I said top 5.
You said top 5. We got a big list back there of all of our bold predictions, and that's one of them. You said top 5, and you guys are sitting at number 2 right now. But did you talk about that sort of thing internally before the season started?
Yeah, actually, right away we had our doubts just because we lost some huge scores and we were going to have to completely change our offense. But honestly, we were all like, it's going to be a different game and we're going to be a completely different team, but I don't think we're 10th. And, you know, after we started winning some big games, we're like, yeah, we're not 10th. We deserve to be up higher and we're going to prove that throughout the year. So.
And you guys sure have, for sure.
Yeah, and was it more so you saw that maybe at the beginning of the season, now maybe here at the end of the season, do you care about that as much, or was it more so at the beginning of the season than it was here now?
You know, I think, yeah, it was probably more at the beginning for me personally. I cared about it a little bit more because, you know, you can start off the first half of the season winning and then lose out, you know, you don't. But now not so much, I mean, a little bit, just because you don't want to, you know, fall off and be like, okay, well, they had a good stretch, but it wasn't, you know, all that it lived up to be and everything. So it was more at the beginning of the season, but still it's kind of a little thought sometimes in the back of my mind for sure.
Well, it's pretty obvious you're having a great season here. Now you're just a sophomore. How much better can you get by junior year and senior year? Where do you need to kind of grow and continue to improve, in your opinion?
That's a good question. I think I definitely need to expand my inside game more now. I'm going to need to learn how to deal with the double and triple team a little bit better, learn how to play through that, and then definitely expand my outside game too. Because if you can beat somebody in the paint, you know, that's on defense anyways, then they're stopped. But as soon as you get a post that can play on the outside and hit those outside shots and isn't afraid to put the ball on the ground, you know, that's a player that's pretty unstoppable. I mean, how do you guard somebody like that? And so definitely just improving my outside game, which I'll do definitely during the off season, and just getting used to playing with that double and triple team more and learning how to get by that.
So you're going to watch a lot of like Caitlin Clark footage and pull up from 26 and stuff?
Yeah, I think so. That might be in my bag next year. Watch out for that.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
Yeah, it seemed like in the beginning of the season you took advantage of a lot of the one-on-one matchups. And then, like you talked about, teams started the scout, obviously, and were like, hey, if we're going one-on-one, we can't guard you. And now they put two, maybe three on you. How have you adjusted to that a little bit? You know, now that, you know, you had to kind of make an adjustment middle of the season because teams are putting double teams on you. You know, how have you adjusted to that?
Really, it didn't take long for me to adjust. I mean, it was hard right away, but it was just like high school. Every high school game I had, there were three, four, sometimes even five people in the paint constantly every single game. And it was frustrating. And since I went, you know, a year and a half without having that, right away it was kind of like a shock. I was like, oh.
This is nice, right?
Yeah, like it's, you know, I've earned that respect. And it's, you know, it's when I would go to my parents after games and be, oh, it's so hard to play through that triple team. And they're like, well, you've garnered the respect. It's kind of like a little, you know, new badge on your whatever. So it's just like, it took me a few games, you know, to get back into the swing of things, but after a while I was like, you've been through this before. This is nothing new for you. Just do your thing, really. I wasn't really that worried about it.
A couple more here with Maddie Bragg on Fox Sports Aberdeen, and I know you talked about this during Pack Chat. How cool is it having little girls come up to you after games asking for autographs? I mean, that's so cool. It's kind of a nifty thing, huh?
Yeah, it's sweet. It's like after we banged Mankato, a group of little girls came up to me and got me this like Loom rubber band bracelet.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was sweet. I think a little boy from Fulton asked me to sign his hat. So it's just, it's really cool to see, you know, where I was, because I was them pretty much when I was younger. I would come to Northern games and I thought they were all so cool. And I never had the guts to ask anybody for their autograph or anything, which I kind of regret because it would have been cool. But I think it's kind of full circle for me. It's really inspiring me, you know, when I don't want to show up at practice and I'm, you know, we're playing in a game against a lower seed and I kind of just, I don't want the game to be over with, but it's not going to be a super fun, exciting game. I'm like, well, these little girls are here to watch you and you're putting in the work for them essentially because, you know, our entire team is their inspiration and they want to be us when they get older. So I just try and, you know, remember that. But it's super awesome to have them have their support for sure.
That's a cool perspective, yeah.
Did you have to practice the autographs a little bit, your signature at all? Or
sometimes, but like when I'm bored, I doodle, and a lot of times I just rewrite my signature over and over again. So I've gotten pretty good at it. But the thing I haven't mastered yet is signing T-shirts because the fabric moves, so my signature is always kind of blurry, and I don't know. I don't really like the way it looks, but on paper, it's golden.
Is it like the doctor's signature where you can't barely even read?
Yeah,
you know?
on T-shirts it is, and On paper, you can tell that it's my name, and I always put a big number 2 and usually a heart or something next to it. But, on T-shirts, it looks really bad. I try and make the number 2 as legible as you can see it, though.
Yeah, I don't know how you would even sign a T-shirt. Yeah.
It
seems
so you
got to,
like, stretch it out.
Yeah, and sometimes, like, they're wearing the shirt, so I'm like, trying to stretch it out on their back, and I'm like, this is really awkward, but I'll try my best.
That's a tough thing to do. Maybe one or two more here with Maddie Bragg on Fox Sports Aberdeen. I know it was a long time ago, but I got to ask about the Duluth game, because that shot that your teammate hit, of course, you grew up with her there at Aberdeen, Ron Colley and Morgan Fiedler. Just the look of pure joy on your face, Elena's face, and just what a moment what that was. It just was phenomenal. Just, it would have been so easy for that to be kind of the highlight of the season, but you haven't let it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you know Morgan, you know that she puts in an immense amount of work. She's working out every single day, hitting shots just like that. You know, and she hasn't been put on a stage like that this year. She hasn't been the one taking the clutch shots, really. So hitting that for her was a huge confidence booster, I think. And it was super exciting for us to finally see her get that, you know, moment of fame and the recognition for all the work that she's put in, because she does work so hard. And that's why I was so excited. The entire game, I never really had a doubt that we were gonna, like, I never thought that we were gonna lose for whatever reason. You know, even we were down by 3 with whatever, 7 seconds left. I was like, oh, we're fine. But yeah, that was for sure really exciting. I watched the clip that you posted over and over again, I think, for like 3 days. Watched a live stream like 4 times, probably. But, you know, that was exciting. But like I said, the job isn't finished. You know, that was another big win. But you still have a lot of people to prove, or a lot of things to prove and stuff like that. So you got to kind of put that one behind you while it was exciting. You got to move forward still.
I detect a little Kobe here. Job's not finished.
Yeah, I was just going to say, job's not finished.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. I like the Mamba mentality. So you said Aberdeen Roncalli, you know, they're having a great season. 18-3, came off a nice win against Redfield. Maybe a state tournament bound, possibly?
Possibly. I hope that for them. I mean, that'd be awesome to see, you know, the girls that we played against in practice finally get their time to shine. And, you know, I feel like sometimes people would say, or like some people in my age would say, well, after you guys graduate, you know, Roncalli isn't really going to. And I, you know, sometimes that's a respectable thing to hear because, you know, we were so good for so long and, you know, losing six seniors and all of your starting five. But yeah, I really hope that they get to do something like that because it would be huge to watch all those girls, you know, get to play in a scene like that because, you know, when we went, they were so young, they didn't really get any playing time except for at the end of games. So for them to get that opportunity would be really exciting and it'd be cool to see for sure.
Well, the flip side is they practiced against you guys every day in practice. That's what's prepared them for these moments, right?
Yes, I agree.
I think it's fair to say. You got anything else?
No, I'm good.
All right, sweet. You got anything else?
Nope.
All right. Well, sweet. Well, thanks for popping in today. Much appreciated. Good luck on the road this week against Augie and Wayne State, and we'll see you in Sioux Falls in a couple weeks.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys having me.
You got it. Our pleasure, for sure. Madeline Bragg joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Talking some baseball next. Dean Berry joins us live in studio as well. We are back on a Wednesday edition of the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM. Our thanks to Maddie Bragg joining us here live in studio earlier. We move from the hardwood to, well, you can have some hardwood, I guess, in your hands with the pine there, or you can swing the sticks. I know I'm combining golf and baseball.
You said the hardwood. You could have said the diamond.
The diamond, yeah, that's true. I could have said that. I was just looking for the wood, though, you know?
Swinging the pine. I see where you were going.
Picking up what
the
I'm
lumber.
The lumber. That's the word I'm looking for. Thank you. Dean Berry joins us here live in the studio. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's our pleasure for sure. And I was kind of thinking to myself, well, we're getting really, really close to the baseball season. We got to get Coach Berry in here. And, you know, I tell you what, I can't believe how fast this sports season, we've been talking about it for the longest time, from fall to winter. It's almost spring. How jacked are you to get this thing started?
Yeah, you know, it's always that time of year. Us being a spring sport, you just practice so much. You're inside the cages so much. It's just at some point you just got to put it down and go play. And that's kind of where we're at. The guys are obviously itching to get after it. And Friday we open up.
Yeah, weather certainly helps with that, right? We've had a pretty nice winter here. Knock on wood. I mean, it's been pretty nice. So I feel like that definitely helps with the. Getting fired up for the season.
Well, in this time of year, we very, very rarely get a chance to get outside. And that's kind of the challenge when we go anywhere south for our first games is, you know, particularly our outfielders don't get much of a chance to get fly balls and to see it off the bat. And I bet we've had about 10 days where we've been out on the football practice turf and getting a lot of ground balls and fly balls. In other years, we've never had that opportunity. So this has been a pretty unique winter so far.
I'm guessing down in Liberty, Missouri, it's probably a turf field down there?
They do have turf. I believe it's a full field of turf, and forecast looks good, so we're excited to get going.
There you go. So I'm assuming you guys are probably leaving either later today or tomorrow?
Yeah, in about an hour, 11:30.
Thanks for popping in. I got going up against the clock there a little bit. But what's the kind of identity of this squad coming up looking like here in 24? What's the different iteration of Coach Berry's squad?
Yeah, it's kind of a different look. I tell people we'll have a brand-new catcher, third baseman, shortstop, center fielder, just some new faces and kind of a new energy, new vibe. Got some guys that we think can lead a little bit, and we've, you know, every year we're searching for those guys to lead. You know, player-led team is far better than just a coach-led team, and that's kind of we think we got some pieces of that. Last year, when we compare our team to last year's team, we pitched fairly well last year. We just didn't have enough offense to do it, and then we also need this year guys to step up from a bullpen standpoint. But we feel we've got some really good starting pitching and Chevalier and Max Otto to name a couple. But those last couple three innings are as important as the first six or seven. So we'll just see. We feel we're in a good position. But also too, you know, the teams in our league that have great success or have teams that can leave the yard quite a bit. I think we had right around 50 home runs last year, and comparison, Crookston I think had 100. You know, they just change a game. You know, you can play with them for seven, they come up and hit a three-run bomb and change the game. So we'll see what our makeup is, but certainly enjoying this group for sure. They're fun to be around, and they bring a passion and energy that we haven't had in a couple of years. So excited to see that on the field.
Always makes your job easier, for sure.
No question.
It sounds like the veteran group of your squad is that pitching staff then, is mostly from the starter's role then?
Yeah, no question. You know, Max has been a starter since his freshman year. He's as good as you find in our league. He's just a presence up there, a confidence. And then Chevalier, kind of a unique, not a very big kid, but he'll go 88 to 91, 92, and throws across his body and sidearm. It's just a tough one to pick up on, and truly a competitor. And so, again, like I said, we're used to getting good innings from those guys, and we just need others to step up and pick up the slack.
Dean Berry joining us here live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen, and I was looking up your roster before we brought you on here, and I couldn't believe it that Max Otto's a senior already. I can't believe that. It feels like it was just the other day he was getting to Aberdeen. Is that nuts to you?
Don't remind me. It's kind of a sad. It as good as Max is on the field, he's one of our leaders, our captains. In 4 years and working with him, I tell this to everybody who listens that he's never made an excuse for anything he's ever done. You know, if something doesn't go right, he puts it on himself, and so he's just been an absolute pleasure to coach and fun to be around. But yeah, that 4 years sure went fast.
Got a quick brief follow up here. You said a captain for you guys. What does a captain mean to you? I'm guessing that's probably more so a team-elected thing is my guess, but maybe you elect captains, I'm not quite sure. But what does a captain mean to Dean Berry?
Yeah, we I think, as a coaching staff, came up with a group, Captain's Council, we call it. Mm-hmm. I think there's maybe seven guys on it. Representation from all classes, pitchers, hitters, all that. Just guys that carry themselves the right way, great team guys, great in the classroom. I mean, checking all the boxes. So what we expect from them is, you know, we sit down and we meet weekly and talk about what this means to be a leader and a captain, and just reiterating the point that you don't have to be, you don't even have to play. You know, that all of that's irrelevant. It's about you doing what we expect you to do all the time, and that's the challenge. And you know, I didn't force these guys to do it. Like, there's a responsibility that comes along with this. Like, you know, you got to carry yourself a certain way, and then it's about drawing the best out of your teammates is what this is, and being the eyes and ears and being able to see if a guy is down or what he needs to pick them up and it requires them to take the focus off of themselves, because you know how guys can be or athletes can be. If things aren't going well, we can mope around and feel sorry for ourselves. But being a captain, you can't do that. You got to focus on what's best for our team and just keeping the best interest of your teammates and your whole team in sight.
Mm-hmm. On the road at William Jewell here this weekend, Coach, is there something you want to see early on in the season? How do you think you can get that offense going here early on? I know you mentioned the home run numbers. You know, obviously you're not trying to go up and hit a home run every time, but how do you think you can get that offense going here early on?
Yeah, a big thing is a confidence thing, right? You know, and we've been training for the last month and a half of seeing live pitching in our cages. Like, probably more so in my career as a coach, that we're had a lot more you know, one-on-one matchups in the cages. So hopefully that's something that carries over, that this isn't the first time they're seeing live pitching. So that's the hope. We just want to see a good, clean baseball. You know the sport, you know the game of baseball. You can do everything right and still lose. So we just want to put ourselves in that position, and and we'll see what, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll make adjustments as we go, but pretty excited with this group.
I'll never forget when the Cubs had Jeff Samardzija on the roster. I think we've talked about this a couple times. I can't remember what year it was exactly, but he had three or four starts where he got literally zero run support, and he was 0 for 2 in like four starts. He had an ERA of like 0.33. So to your point, it's like you can be a pitcher, you're doing all the right stuff, but offensively, you know, it's a team sport. It's kind of one of those deals. So for you guys this year, I think I look back at this last summer, and the Aberdeen Smitties had a pretty solid year. I know you signed a fair amount of those guys. Do you expect any of those guys in particular to get a little bit of playing time, or do you redshirt? How does that work out from the baseball perspective?
Yeah, you know, with the Vining kid at this point, I think we're going to redshirt. Mm-hmm. Philip Zenz is really opened some eyes. Like, he's just a hard worker. He's certainly on our radar for sure. He's grown in velocity, and he's pretty comfortable and confident on the hill. So we're pleasantly surprised with where he's at. Will that equate to getting some innings? I guess time will tell. Mm-hmm. We'll just see what our pitching staff. I think we're taking 13 or 14 guys down to Jewel, and I'm guessing not all those guys will throw. So we'll just kind of see where the chips fall, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Is there, like, when you start the season for pitchers, are guys, like, on innings restrictions at all early on in the season, trying to get their arms ready to roll for the season? Is that a fair question to ask?
Yeah, and every guy's a little bit different. You know, I think Max Otto's a guy we could roll out there and get 90, 100 pitches, because, you know, they've ramped it up over the last month and a half, and they're throwing 60, 70 innings at a time for us right now. So getting in the game, and you know, with our schedule the way it is, we don't play any midweek games until April 10th. So it's you know, pitch on the weekend and wait a week and pitch again on the weekend. So so yeah, we'll keep guys a little bit, but yeah, there's not a whole lot of restrictions at this point.
Dean Barry joining us here, Fox Sports Aberdeen, and we just had Madeline Bragg in here earlier, and not a whole lot of love for them to start the season from the preseason poll perspective. I know kind of a similar situation for you guys. Is that something that you look at a whole lot for bulletin board material, or just something for us broadcasters to talk about?
Kind of both. I don't get too wrapped up into it, whether we're picked first or picked last. It like I tell our guys, it doesn't matter, because mm-hmm. we still got to go take care of business. I know those guys. I think the last time we were picked, I think 13th, I think we finished, you know, fifth in the league. And I know the guys. Use it as motivation. They feel, but it is what it is. Like, we finished where we finished last year, and I think most of the coaches just take a look at last year's standings, and they're not sitting there over a couple hours doing these picks. They're doing it in about 15 seconds, and so they don't put a lot of thought into it either. But, you know, that's probably where we deserve to be, and now we have to go and prove it wrong.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned a coach about not seeing a lot of fly balls in the outfield when you're, you know, practicing or whatnot because you're inside. Do you find it to be a little struggle on defensively, especially early on in the season, guys struggling to track down fly balls and stuff like that?
We have in the past, and that's the years when we haven't been out. So I, you know, I'd like to think that we're more than ready to get that. You know, it's off a fungo, so it's a little bit different than off a college player's metal bat. So
yep.
In the wind, you know, a lot of times the wind, the guys got there's a learning curve, no question about it. But I don't suspect we'll have too much trouble with that. Knock on wood, I guess. We'll see.
Yeah, there you go. Now, we're at that important time of the season where it's so early. I mean, it's just getting started here. So there's not a whole lot of film study with many of these other teams, even after you get about a week or so. You guys are just focusing on yourself right now. Is that fair?
Yes, but I've got assistant coaches that work their tails off.
Sure.
We're in a day and age now where most of the games are webcast, and mm-hmm. they're there to watch. So our guys, you know, Kusler and Connor Klosterman, they're watching video, doing the scout and watching pitchers, and yeah, so it's more so than we've ever had in the last couple of years is some of that pregame footage that we can learn a lot about our opponents and give our guys. So that piece of the coaching world has changed, if you're willing to put in the work, and those guys certainly have.
Is Kuessler still rocking the mustache?
He had a little bit of a mustache goat. Yeah, he's looking good, no question.
Yeah, I mean, he was in here all summer during Smitty's games, and I was like, man, you got to keep rocking that. And he's like, I don't know about it. I was like, you look good, so.
Yeah, just had a birthday yesterday, so he's a grown man now. So.
Oh, man, shout out to him. That's crazy. Well, Coach, appreciate it. I know you've got to hit the bus here a little bit, so safe travels down there to Kansas, and good luck this year.
Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure, for sure. Head Coach Dean Barry on Fox Sports Aberdeen, again, on the road here today. They'll be taking on William Jewell for a four-game slate. And then four after that with Truman State there in Kirksville, Missouri. That's Missouri, not Missouri. Coming up next on the show, we'll take a look at some more high school news and notes. The Insurance Plus and Area Federal Credit Union scoreboard returns after this. Back on this Wednesday edition of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, and kind of talking off the air here a little bit. A couple of great guests. Dean Barry of the baseball squad, Madeline Bragg of the women's basketball squad. A couple of great guests.
Yeah, here, great guests. Fired up. For sure, you know, just talking baseball in that last segment. We were talking about it before the jump this morning. We were pretty fired up for baseball. I'm even more fired up now after talking to Coach Barry for the season.
No doubt. And, man, I still can't believe that Max Otto is a senior, by the way. That guy has got some serious, serious movement on his pitches. And some of the numbers that he's put up in his time at Northern will just knock your socks off. So if you get a chance, you know, check out his box scores and what have you. He's really, really, really solid. So going to be leaning on him a little bit for sure this year for NSU. Let's check out the Insurance Plus and Area Federal Credit Union scoreboard. We do still have a little bit of time to go here yet in the hub, about 3.5-4 minutes or so. In Region 2A, Flandreau down in Clarkwood Lake, 61-40. That sets up a battle against Sioux Valley. I tell you what, this should be a really, really fun matchup coming up on Thursday. Sioux Valley downed GPL 64-50, and that's the 1-4 pairing, 21-0 against 16-5. So, I mean, Flandreau's been great this season. I'm not saying they're going to lose. I'm not saying that at all. But on paper, this should be a dandy.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, and you mentioned it, Flandreau being undefeated. I was going through the schedule. With Flandreau, they got some pretty nice wins against some good B schools. They beat Centerville in there. They beat Lyman, who's 18-2. They beat Centerville, who's 19-2. Again, those are B schools. They beat Arlington as well, mm-hmm. who's 19-2. So, like, those are some of their best wins. You know, obviously they have good A wins, right? But I'm with you. This one's going to be really, really interesting because I was looking at, you know, what Sioux Valley's done this year. You know, that's a team that has had a lot of success, more so in Class A, mm-hmm. kind of when they've been playing the Class A competition. So that's just something, I mean, that's just, you know, broadcaster storyline then. But still, I mean, something to definitely take, you know, or look at.
I wouldn't necessarily say it's a quote-unquote coin flip game, but I think it's going to be a pretty close one. I'm not saying Sioux Valley's going to win. I'm not saying they're going to lose. I'm just saying it should be a good matchup.
Just one more.
Sure.
They played each other earlier this year. 55-29, Flandreau won. So,
okay.
I mean, that's something. I just saw that now. So, you know, my apologies there to Flandreau.
Maybe Sioux Valley looks at that tape and they say, okay, we missed a lot of these, or we screwed up this assignment. So will they be better the next time? We'll have to wait and see. That will be tomorrow.
Sioux Valley only lost to Sisseton by 5-2.
That's quality.
So there you go.
A little something for you there. Florence Henry, they were all over Esteline Hendricks last night, 49-28. They'll take on Hamlin. Speaking of great matchups for a chance to dance in the SODAC 16, Hamlin defeated Elkton Lake Benton last night behind 20 from Eddie Neuendorf, 52-31. But Florence Henry against Hamlin, come on. That's going to be good.
Sign me up.
Yep.
That's going to be awesome. I think both teams definitely hungry to get back to the dance, like you said, especially Florence Henry with how they ended their season last year. And just talking to Mitch Reed on the Sports Hub a couple weeks ago, you could just see the fire with that team. They want to get back there, and they're going to have an opportunity. But Hamlin, they're a salty squad, I'll tell you. Neuendorf's awesome. So that's going to go down to the wire. That's going to be pretty low scoring, in my opinion.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see how that one all plays out. Region 1B, Warner was all over Aberdeen Christian last night. They doubled them up 70-35. Ava Nilsson, Northern commit for volleyball, she had 21 last night. Kyra Markison had 15. The Monarchs, they'll get the number four seed, of Britton Heckle on Thursday, who defeated Hitchcock Tulare 46-40. Sterling Brassfield had 13 in the victory there. Leola Frederick got 32 last night from Laura Sumption. They defeated Wilmot. And those are kind of interesting matchup because you've got Addison Heinge, who put up that 50 spot.
Yep.
And they slowed her down to 25 last night. And you had Sumption, who had dropped in 32. So two really good individual players, but Leola Frederick as a team just collectively a little bit better. 52-35, your final score there from last night. And they will take on the Wildcats of Northwestern on Thursday. And I, too, think this could be a sneaky matchup, sneaky good matchup, because you've been talking about this Northwestern squad, and you said just keep an eye out for them, probably more so next year, but this would be a huge confidence booster to get into the SODEC 16.
Yeah, that's a matchup there I'm looking at and saying the great opportunity for Northwestern, being that they are a young team and they're going to have an opportunity there to gain some confidence moving forward. That one I think is going to be pretty low scoring as well. I think for Northwestern to win that one, they're going to have to score a little bit more than they have here recently.
Totally fair. And the upset of the night, 7-2. I texted you this last night. Highmore Herald defeats Falkton 54-44. Autumn Fallis had 16 there for the Pirates. And we talked about it. If you have an off day, an off shooting night, that's it. Your season's done. Carly Cotton has been phenomenal all year. She had 11 last night. Kudos to the Highmore Herald defense. And that's it. You only get 32 minutes. And if you have an off night, your season's over.
100% true. And Cotton, like you mentioned, had a great season. And 11 points, still a decent game. But when you're averaging close to 20 a night, you know, that's the difference.
Yeah. So SODEC 16 is not that far off. Looking forward to that. We're back at it on Thursday as well, as is all of these high school games as well. It's the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Cowherd at the top of the hour.